an angry nation? It is time, General, to stack our arms. In fact, that is the first step. That is my first request of you. Stack your arms and disband your army.
And who will enforce the laws once we have them?
The regular army. The police.
They're the ones we just fought and beat. Give me your watch. Give me your watch. Give it to me.
It's a beautiful watch.
Expensive. I'll take my rifle. Now you can have your watch back. But without this, never.
You draw a strong moral. You ask us to disarm. How could we get our land or keep it if we disarm?
But it's not that simple. It's a matter of time.
And time! Time is one thing to a lawmaker, but to a farmer there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. And you cannot plant and harvest time.
General Zapata, do you trust me?
Just the way my people trust me. I trust you and they trust me as long as we keep our promises. Not a moment longer.
Where are you going?
I'm going home. What will you do there?
I will wait, but not for long.
Yeah. Give me your watch, Madero. Now take this gun. Now you can have your watch back. But without the gun, you don't get your watch back. Hey, all you wolves out there, lone wolves, have you been bitten? Huh? Well, you have to have been bitten because you're lone wolves. And there's no walking back from it. You're lone wolves. And this is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here. Yeah. Lone Wolf Radio. And this is a Monday. How about that? Monday, the 3rd of April. How about that? Going to be a great month for chaos. Chaos is spreading everywhere. Can you see it? Can you feel it? In the news and so forth. It's crazy. They're going nuts. And they're getting ready to blow us all up by having a war with China. Using North Korea to make an excuse. These bastards want a war with China. And they want a war with Russia. These people are truly insane in the military-industrial complex. They should be dealt with, believe me, they should have been dealt with a long time ago.
Frank? Frank sent us. Did you bring a horse for me?
Looks like we're... Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Spent several days trying to get this internet working here. Finally got it up to pretty much to par today. And worked all morning on it with the internet company. and I had to do all the technical work after I was told what to do. And by the time I got done and got back on, I felt like going back to bed. Well, let's see what the Black Ku Klux Klan's up to in Chicago. Wow. Participation in two armed robberies of women in Lakeview section has earned 20-year-old Jawan Farley a cakewalk sentence. Well, most of them get cakewalk sentences. 2 years probation and a curfew from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Unbelievable. Police were assisted in their investigation by two December robberies by a photograph of the offender's license plate that was taken by a witness to one of the holdups. You know, this is going to help out a lot with people taking pictures of these creeps. Yeah. One victim told police that several men cornered her near the 1200 block of West Waveland, that those are niggers, at 2:50 a.m., and then began chasing after her. The woman said the men threatened to kill her if she did not stop running. Now, what the hell's a... I assume she was a white woman. Why would she be out at 2:50 in the morning walking around on the streets of Chicago? This is not saying she's not legally authorized to do it, but it's insane when there's wild animals around, big monkeys running around on two legs, trying to kill people, rape people, rob people, and everything else. Wow. At around the same time, another woman reported being robbed near Fremont and Grace. The second victim's friend snapped a photo of the getaway car, and the police were able to forward the license plate information to other officers who soon found it on Lakeshore Drive. Police pulled the vehicle over just south of North Avenue around 3:10 a.m., and all three occupants were identified by the robbery victims as niggers that attacked them. Cops found proceeds from the robberies inside the vehicle, police said. 20-year-old Joseph Lewis of Morgan Park and 19-year-old Donzel L. Lloyd of Calumet Heights are also charged with robbing women. Their cases are still moving through the court. You know, the question I have is, where are the white men? Don't these people have husbands and brothers, family members? Where are their balls? They just say, well, we call the police. We depend on the police. We pay taxes to get those police. They get virtually nothing done. Meanwhile, two men accused of trying to rob three uptown roommates in a River North on October 17th have also pleaded guilty. And they've also been sentenced to 2 years probation. 23-year-old D'Angelo Dixon and 21-year-old Leandrew Wallace were arrested when their would-be victims flagged down a passing police car in the middle of the robbery attempt outside a multimillion dollar mansion in the 800 block of North Dearborn. Police said Wallace grabbed one of the victim's arms as Dixon went through the man's pockets while pretending to have a gun under his sweatshirt. Too bad he didn't stick a switchblade right into that nigger. I'll kill you, Dixon reportedly said. I'm going to fucking shoot you. As Dixon reached for the victim's cell phone, one of the other victims flagged down an approaching 18th Street District squad car. The officer stopped and detained Dixon and Wallace while the other fled. Police said they recovered $1,403 from Dixon's backpack during the arrest processing. Four other individuals who took part in the holdup were never found. Imagine how many of these blacks get away with this stuff. They absolutely get away and then the courts leave them go. That reminds me of this creepy little Hawaiian federal judge that ruled over Trump's immigration policies and stopped him. Here's a crummy little, probably some kind of an Asian in Hawaii pipsqueak that stops the whole immigration situation in this country. It was always insane to make Hawaii a state anyhow. That was crazy. That was part of that Teddy Roosevelt shit of spreading, taking over and occupying islands all over the Pacific. Yeah. Anyhow, back to what I was talking about. Four other individuals, I missed that. Four other individuals who took part in the holdup were never found, man. They're still out there and they're going to do it again. See what the ruling class has unleashed on the American people, not just white people, anybody that's halfway decent. They've unleashed these monsters. And the only way to stop them is shoot them, kill them, knife them. They come at you, be ready. Always be ready. Always be on the lookout and always be armed with something. Let them have it. It's the only thing that's going to change anything. And probably ought to do just like in Death Wish. You do the job and get out of there. Don't stick around to tell the cops how honest you are. The DAs just love to get white people who defend themselves. They love that shit. Another black Ku Klux Klan situation here. Let's see here. Wait a minute. The incident took place in March after a 15-year-old girl was reported missing from the Lawndale community, according to Chicago police. The 15-year-old girl went to the store and returned home the following day. While she was missing, she was allegedly gang-raped by five or six niggers. The act was streamed live on Facebook, and 40 viewers watched it. However, the viewers did not call authorities. The girl's mother discovered the Facebook Live video and showed it to the Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. When the girl returned home the following day, she told her mother about the incident and was taken to the hospital. Police were able to identify one 14-year-old nigger and arrested him over the weekend, and a warrant was issued for a second teen. The teen was charged with the creep was charged with felony counts of aggravated criminal sexual assault. Why don't you just say rape, you dumbass? Manufacturing child pornography and dissemination of child porn. Oh, boy. The alleged rape is the latest crime to appear on the Facebook Live. In January, several Chicago teens were arrested and charged with a hate crime for kidnapping and assaulting a white teen. Also, several people have committed suicide while streaming live. Facebook continues to catch flack for a social media video tool which doesn't have a delay and can only be removed after it's been reported. Well, the only thing going to stop or slow any of this down is the final solution. They get one of ours, we get one of theirs. No, they get one of ours, we get 20 of theirs. What do you think? I even think you'll find quite a number of blacks who agree on that. Well, here's one, another white male, get that, white male terrorist admits to having a plot to kill Negroes. Ian Rubin, I think he may be Jewish, is the latest racist who threatened to kill black people. According to New York Daily News, in February, Rubin was at an apartment complex in Brooklyn when he approached two blacks and told them, "I'm going to kill you niggers tonight." Rubin had a history of racist threats and spent time in jail for assault. Good man. After his latest arrest, Rubin told police that he was a hitman for the mafia who likes to kill and lynch niggers. Rubin's racist threats is similar to another racist act of terrorism. Terrorism. It's never terrorism when it's a nigger. It's an underprivileged black gentleman. That occurred in March. James Jackson to travel to New York with the sole purpose of killing black people. Well, you didn't think they're going to sit on their ass forever, do you, boys? Jackson approached Timothy Kaufman, 66, around 11 o'clock p.m., and stabbed him several times. Kaufman was able to walk to a police precinct, but he eventually died from the stab wounds. Police recovered several knives from Jackson. A military vet, Jackson rode a boat bus from Baltimore to New York. With the purpose of killing niggers. The lone wolves are on the march, boys. Reuben and Jackson's crimes reveal why white male terrorists, as opposed to black male heroes of the community, are a problem. In 2015, 5,818 hate crime incidents and 7,121 victims, according to the FBI stats. Nearly 60% of the victims were attacked because of their race. Well, why don't you say what race? Because they mostly were white. Since Trump's election, hate crimes have spiked across the nation. Oh. In 10 days following the election of Trump, nearly 1,000 acts of hate occurred in America. Yeah. Let's get that hate out there.
Got off to a warm start with temperatures hovering close to 70, drawing flocks of people to the lakeside, but the residents of the south and west of town ignored the many tastes of spring and celebrated the old-fashioned way by shooting their neighbors. Thursday also marks the 88th anniversary of the St. Valentine's Day massacre, in which Al Capone's lads shot up Bugsy Moran's gang in a garage on Clark Street. Seven men were lined up against the wall and shot. In other words, an average weekend in Chicago, except those guys were all white. Not to be outdone, the thugs of Chicago kept reminding everyone of why Chicago cannot have nice things. The weekend's butcher bill, 6 dead, one by the popo, and 22 wounded. He suffered a gunshot wound to the right pinky finger. A good reminder, if you're in Chicago, cover your ears. You don't want to hear shots and feel pain. Saturday, 3:20 a.m., a 36-year-old man was killed at a party when another man walked up and shot him in the head. Every weekend, a member of this group gets shot at a party. If I remember a Thuglandia, I think I'd cut back on my social life. Who wants to get shot in the head when you're enjoying your gin and juice? Think about it. Friday, 7:20 p.m., a 25-year-old woman and a 37-year-old man were shot when someone they got into an argument with came back to the bar with a gun. The woman was shot in the left leg. The man was shot in the right leg. So between them, they have two good legs and two bad ones. Friday, 7:50 p.m., 18-year-old man, 20-year-old man were standing outside when someone fired shots from a passing vehicle. The reason police believe they fired shots from a passing vehicle at a crowd full of black people is because black lives by gum matter.
That was shock jock Michael Berry from out of Texas. Interesting. Now, if you want to get into anguish, have a lot of anguish, go up like the liberals, so-called liberals. These are not real liberals. But anyhow, you go on up there to the Whitney Museum in New York City. It's a museum of art. They got a big painted picture of Emmett Till, who got himself beaten to death down in Mississippi years ago, in his coffin. It's like modern art. It's something else. And what's even more interesting is there's four or five white liberals standing in front of it, almost in tears. Maybe they are in tears. I can't see all their faces. It's amazing. What about the white people who've been brutalized by these savages? Forget that. What's this self-hatred? Extreme self-hatred among whites. And even Jews are involved in it. Here's part of the article that goes with it. It is one of the most powerful images to emerge from the racism that infected the southern states of America in the 1950s. The photograph of a badly beaten 14-year-old Negro boy lynched after being falsely accused of flirting with a white woman lying in a funeral casket. Now protests over a painting based on the photograph included in a New York museum show are dividing the city's art world amid claims of racist exploitation and censorship. Wow! At the center of the battle over cultural appropriations is artist Dana Schultz, probably white, expressionist painting of the open casket, a gruesome depiction of Emmett Till, lynched in Mississippi in 1955. Why don't they go down to Tennessee and did they take pictures of those two, the boy and a girl, that were taken out and savagely tortured and unspeakable things happened to them that were white? Anybody paint that picture and put it in a gallery? No fucking way. So fuck the blacks too. Fuck Emmett Till. No justice. No separation. No peace. Even the artist has taken it. At the center of the battle over cultural appropriation is artist Dana Schultz, expressionist painting Open Casket 2016. Oh, I read that. The painting on display at the Whitney Biennial exhibition initially drew swift condemnation from critics who claim Schultz, who is white, was taking advantage of a defining moment in African American nigger history. See, even the artist is called a racist for painting the picture. Well, maybe he is. I think he's a card-carrying member of the Ku Klux Klan. Negro American artist Parker Bright stood in front of the painting with Black Death Spectacle written on his t-shirt. And a young British artist, Hannah Black, accused Schultz of having nothing to say to the black community about black trauma, demanding that the work be destroyed and not entered into any market or museum. Wow. He should have been a black artist. That would have been wonderful. Rohan Bates, an environmental activist, has told a court she felt really upset after learning that Donald Trump employees had secretly photographed her allegedly pissing on his golf course. Bates is suing the U.S. President's golf course in Aberdeenshire, Scotland, for breach of privacy after its executives called in the police over the incident in April 2016, accusing her of committing public nuisance. A longtime campaigner against the resort, she accuses Trump International Golf Course in Scotland, which denies the claims of using photographs taken on mobile phones by two staff and a member of the public without her consent or knowledge, and is seeking up to £3,000 in damages. Well, what they should have done is come up to her like gentlemen and said, "May we take a picture of you pissing?" Then she probably would have said, "Oh, okay." I personally don't care if she did number two either. Well, Putin's got a problem. In the most extensive Russian resettlement project in half a century, a full 10% of Moscow's housing is set to be torn down and 1.6 million people moved as the city of Khrushchevka flats are destroyed. But the residents won't go easily. In the 1970s, machinist Yevgeny Kudukov was living in a communal apartment with 30 people in north-central Moscow where, quote, there was always a line for the toilet. He was also in line for his own flat through the institute where he worked. Gee, the dream of a Russian thing, you know. Finally, his turn came and he and his wife were given a two-room flat at 16 Crimea Street. Built in 1957, the four-story, 64-flat building was considered the first Chevka, a kind of fabricated low-rise flat block that was erected in tens of thousands across the USSR and came to be called after the then-Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev. The colloquial term has come to apply to almost any late Soviet five-story residential building. Now, 16 Crimean Street, along with up to 7,900 other Soviet flat blocks in Moscow, are to be torn down in what will be one of the largest urban resettlement programs in history. Well, one, remember Pakistan and India? With the backing of the president, Vladimir Putin, Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin has declared the program an absolute necessity to replace aging housing. He promised the replacement flats would be 20% larger than average. To Rudikoff, however, it's just another example of profit taking precedent over heritage. This is the first housing block that Khrushchev built. They don't have any regard for this now, he said of his home. Money comes before anything else. He added that he didn't know why Putin said to tear down the flat blocks. The building is good. The walls are thick. Many residents have joined him in speaking out, fearful that the government will build huge housing towers rather than comfortable neighborhoods and resettlement people far away from their current addresses. Many of the Khrushchevka buildings could be renovated, they said. Analysts have argued that the demolition project is driven by politics and profit. Oh, in Soviet, in Russia? Come on, you can't give me that. Furthermore, the federal legislation to give the Moscow city government power to knock down entire neighborhoods has worried implications for the rights of residents and small business owners. Residents who do not sign an agreement to transfer ownership of their flat within 2 months will be taken to court. They are forcing people out, like under Stalin, said activist Lena Boguchi. Opposition activist and former MP Dmitry Gutkov noted that the legislation would allow the government to tear down not just Soviet fabricated flat blocks, but also nearby analogous buildings. When asked about how the fate of the nearby buildings would be decided, the author of the law, MP Mikhail Degtyarov, recently told TV Rain that a city commission would simply take a neighborhood and circle the whole thing for demolition. Easy as that. See how it works in Russia? As things change very much in Russia? Quite a bit in one way, but the same old shit in another way. Well, at least it's better than down in the Middle East. They're having urban renewal all over the Middle East. They're tearing down buildings everywhere. And they're not putting up any new ones either. Checking my microphone here. There. Cool. We may like the way Putin stands up to people, but I want to tell you, do you really think you'd want to live under Putin? I don't think so. Remember how I told you about the blacks that were having a bad time in India because Indians are so racist? Well, drawn to India by cheap education, African students say they face violence and prejudice. They have had to live under police security for days following a recent bout of mob attacks in Greater Noida, a new town just outside New Delhi. The FT's Karen Stacey reports. These are the Alstonia apartments in Greater Noida, just outside New Delhi, one of the several towers that blocks this area, but a home to hundreds of Negroes, mainly Nigerian students who have come to India looking for an education, but for the last 3 days, residents here and elsewhere in the Greater Noida have lived under police protection. Wow. Gee whiz. Following a bout of mob violence, racist violence that was targeting Negroes and Negro students generally. Well, remember when that happened in Patrice Lumumba University in Moscow, where the white students chased and beat the hell out of blacks from Africa? It goes on everywhere. The trouble started with the death of Manish Kari, an Indian teenager who lived in this part of town. Kari's parents say their son died of a drug overdose sold to them by the Nigerian neighbors. Well, there followed a series of protests against the death by Indians in Greater Noida, which quickly turned ugly. No, it turned pretty good, probably. Last Monday night, the protesters came across three Nigerians in Ansel Mall. They attacked these three plus another in nearby Pari Chowk, hospitalizing all four. But Nigerians who live here say they are not surprised. This is a story I told you about last week. Yeah. Well, let's see here. Let's see if I can find out any more about this. We are very, very, very much worried about our security. As a matter of fact, we can't walk the streets. What's going on here? I'll do that again. We are very, very, very much worried about our black security. As a matter of fact, we can't walk the streets. A policeman came to my house this afternoon and told us vividly that we are not allowed to come outside on the street for 3 days. And we should have their number. If we want to get anything, we should call them. But they have freedom of movement in my country. They have freedom of speech in my country. They have a right to live in my country. Then why are they deprived of that? It's because they don't have the right. There's no natural right to anything. An estimated 5,000 Negro students live in this part of town. Wow. See how they do that? The government does that. They drop these people in there, and then when there's trouble, they say, whoa, gee, it's just because of hate. Well, yeah, it's our neighborhood. We want to keep it our neighborhood.
Even if we are a Punjabi.
Did you ever notice how these talented people, these Hollywood people, these Broadway people, these movie people defend each other most of the time, except if they say something nasty about Jews? But listen to this, if I can get it up here. Hey, wait a minute, don't talk like that.
She speak out because Bill O'Reilly made a joke about Maxine Waters' hair.
Okay, she this spoke is, out so against typical. Racism and sexism, Bill. That's what she spoke
yep.
out against.
Okay,
all right.
She spoke out about a joke.
And it wasn't this is, the only thing
you know what?
Said.
This is why the Democrats lost the election in the first place, because they cannot get their priorities straight, and they never fail to take debate about little bullshit issues of...
I don't think racism and sexism are little bullshit.
Why is that racist? Why is it racist? Because she compared two black people?
Okay, do you know how April Ryan was treated? Are you saying that he would have treated a man like that? Is
yes,
that what
you're
saying a white dude would like that? I don't think that's right.
You're referring to the fact that...
That Sean Spicer...
said to a woman in the audience, in his briefing, April Ryan, who was an African-American, and they were going back and forth, and she was shaking her head, and he said, please stop shaking your head. And you go immediately to, it's a racist what? Thing about, oh, no, he
yes.
didn't.
Okay, excuse me, if I may... as someone who comes on this show who can take a joke
right.
and get about Catholic priests and doesn't scream and holler of how offended I am and how horrible this is.
You are
no, I didn't.
Right.
No,
I did. I shook my head and said, you know, off-color joke, you know what? We're big boys and girls here.
Right.
You know, you don't be outraged at every offense. That's one of the problems
you know,
we have.
Just sort of
stop the fake outrage is
it's
what's
not
going
fake.
on. It
it's
is
not fake outrage. outrage.
Well, if it isn't fake outrage, then you should learn to take a joke and move on.
You're right. There is not enough. You're right. The first 4 or 5 months of Trump means there's been no. We're all oversensitive about the attacks on women, people of color. You're right. That's exactly the issue.
But there are real issues about this.
Absolutely. You should.
Longer view, all right?
Well, there you go. That's one of these little cat fights and spats between the people in the news media and the television and the movies, that they can talk like that. And if one of them had ever stood up and said, "Well, I hate the goddamn nigger broad," the whole station would have collapsed and all the tubes would have blown out. Pardon me, I'm showing my age. Tubes blowing out reminds me of the days when I used to check all the tubes in people's TVs. Be about 20 tubes, one at a time, with my little tube checker. Reminds me of when the drugstore had tube testers in them. They were total ripoffs. They were selling people thousands of dollars in electronic tubes that they didn't need. SF Gates newspaper, I guess it is, reports that students at Albany High School in Albany, California, started an Instagram account with cruel posts about their classmates, including pictures of a black doll, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and a torch. Some of the students were involved making Nazi salutes and anti-Semitic gestures in an incident earlier in March. The students were suspended, but many believed they were not punished enough for their hateful posts. In response, hundreds of other students at the school staged a sit-in on Thursday to protest the returning of the offending students. During a 3-hour protest, the students held posters that read, "Black is beautiful, and we won't stand for racism around here." School had to be canceled for the rest of the day because so many students joined the rally. Yeah, that's the way the herd instinct is, you know. Parents of some of the students targeted by the Instagram account expressed frustration about the incident. Alexandra Campbell-Jones told ABC7 that she wasn't sure how to deal with the situation, man. It's terrible. Given that the parents of the suspended students haven't shown up to talk to the community. Why should they give themselves over to hateful attacks? Their parents have not come to the board meeting, which has 4 hours of public comment of people in Albany sharing their experiences about racism that are very similar to this, she said. Wow. The pattern of the district and the Albany Police Department sweeping these incidents under the rug. Do we need to find one of our children hanging from these trees for people to take this seriously? This is not a joke. The school district is taking some initiative. Superintendent Valerie Williams said she believes racism is an issue in the district. It's all over the place. This reminds me of the French revolutionists. As the revolution went on and they started chopping heads off of the leaders, they just one by one, everyone accused everybody else. I think there are issues of bullying and harassment and misogyny and racism, homophobia, transphobia. I think all those do exist in our schools. It's horrible. It's terrible. I get it, she said. It'll be interesting to see how the district and the city continue to handle this. Yeah, they let it all line up. Round up these people and kill them. They're horrible. Worse than ISIS. It'll be interesting to see. Oh, yeah. Anyhow, that's it. Horrible things are going on at that school. Probably white kids and other kids are being raped at the school, but that's all right. That's freedom of sex. Hey, there's unrest up in Canada. Anti-racism protesters and members of the anti-invader grouping, Soldiers of Odin, I like that sound, have been involved in violent street clashes in Toronto, Canada. That means a fist fight. These press people a group calling themselves the Concerned Coalition of Canadian Citizens, organized to a gathering outside Toronto City Hall on Saturday that sparked a counter-protest from the Organizing Committee Against Islamophobia. This Saturday, Islamophobic group, the Concerned Coalition of Canadian Citizens, CCCC, will be marching again at City Hall. The OCAI said in Facebook posts before the marches, whoop, wait a minute here, I lost it. There it is. Grouping themselves, calling themselves Concerned Coalition, CCCT, organizing a gathering outside City Hall. This Saturday, Islamophobic group,
Islamophobic man, we don't like those Islamic people.
The Concerned Coalition of Canadian Citizens will be marching. I said that before. Quit repeating myself. Their membership includes known white supremacists and fascists, the Soldiers of Odin, and the Jewish Defense League. Wait a minute. We must come together to show our opposition to this hatred. Soldiers of Odin, CCCC, anti-immigrant, and the Jewish Defense League getting together? That's interesting. Who would have thought? The two gatherings were marked by ugly scenes when the demonstrations clashed in downtown Toronto. Video from the scene shows masks, anti-racism pro. How come they always, the chicken shit, they're always covering their faces? Got some nice pictures of people punching each other. In the last month and a half, there's been really an alarming rise of alt-right groups, obviously Nazis, like the Soldiers of Odin and the Jewish Defense League. That's hilarious. Herb Rubin would turn over in his grave, and others having a really visible presence at Toronto City Hall. Protesters Sarah Ali from the OCAI told CBC after the clashes. In a video on the Soldiers of Odin Canada Facebook page, Michael Montague, who describes himself as the group's public relations commanding officer, said the group was providing security for the CCCC demonstration. First off, I'd like to say great job to all our members. They got surrounded and assaulted and defended themselves, plain and simple, Montague said. CBC say around a dozen soldiers of Odin were present with some carrying signs criticizing Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Yeah, of course he's an asshole, just like his father. Well, here you go. I got a picture of him here. Let's see if we can get some sound off of this. Just a minute here.
Let him go! Let him go! Let him go! Okay, behind me at least.
We need a wagon.
What happened today? That's not happening today. It is each and every one of you came out.
He's not saying we should slaughter people.
The shirt's in the fucking
shirt.
You know
it's a shirt, dude.
You might as well be having a swastika on his shirt.
It's not a swastika on his shirt.
I attended the rally here today because, as I understand it, the protesters who have made themselves very clear to be anti-Islam, anti-Muslim, were organizing in this space. I am Muslim. It makes me feel unsafe. It makes me feel threatened. So I came here to voice my dissent. I live in the city. I feel like I have to make a stance, not just for myself, but for my community. That includes my family and my friends, many of whom go to mosque. And at mosque, what we're seeing is these right-wingers organize just outside our doors, publicly inciting hatred, which is against the law. And so it also is a form of intimidation to us. It makes us feel unsafe. We feel directly threatened. And that is why I feel it's important for me to be here today.
Well, there you go. The big riot. The big riot in Toronto, a town I'm quite familiar with, where I was arrested along with my son and held in jail for 5 days and then deported for giving a speech. That was a wild time. Well, you see, the problem here is, I remember back when Heritage Front was running the show and Ernst Zundel was running the show up there. Went up there a couple of times. And same thing's happening now, you know, reaction in the street, you know, these guys, some of these guys in Sons of Odin or whatever are in the middle of the street trying to debate these people. And we learned long ago in L.A., you don't debate them, you smash them, or they'll smash you. If you don't beat them, they'll beat you. So you don't stand around in the street arguing with these creeps. Don't even talk to them. If they come at you to attack you, you beat them down. That's the only answer to that. But really, the right wing's stupid for even going into the street against people like that. There's much easier ways to take care of that problem. Well, this is interesting, boys and girls. For years, the Anti-Defecation League of B'nai B'rith has held a clear, unwavering stance that videos made by terrorists and hate groups like the Republican Party have no place on the internet. Hate-filled videos mislead children, poison the online experience for everyone, and serve as an unfortunate yet effective tool to recruit new generations of violent extremists like exist in Chicago, all over Chicago. Now, ADL is seeing the impact of its efforts on online hate videos, Google including its subsidiary YouTube, and virtually all other major online video sites have developed policies, employed teams, and put technologies in place to tackle the problem of online hate. Wow. Wow. Let's see here. Where's the rest of this thing? Major brands including Starbucks, Walmart, Pepsi-Cola, AT&T, Verizon, Volkswagen, and Johnson & Johnson recently joined the ADL. The Capitalistas joined the ADL in the condemnation of online hate, which most of it comes from Jews. And they did it in a public way that shines a light on the problem that should dramatically impact Google's bottom line. These advertisers pull their ads from YouTube because Google's ad placement algorithms allowed ads of these brands to appear before hate videos. Huh. The Times of London estimates Google stands to lose a whopping $750 million in annual revenue as a result of this polled advertising. Google has acknowledged the need for improvement when it comes to the placement of ads on hate videos. Through the company suggests the vast majority of cases its policies work as intended. Google reportedly spends millions of dollars and employs thousands of people to stop bad advertising tactic practices. Last year it said it removed nearly 2 billion bad ads and prevented 300 million others from showing up on YouTube. ADL is sympathetic to Google's problem. The scale of the problem is immense. There are millions of sites in its network, and 400 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every single minute. Google says it's close to eliminating the placement of bad ads. But for the advertisers abandoning Google in mass because of mistaken ad placements, close is not good enough. It's never good enough for the kikes. Never. ADL is eager. Wait a minute. ADL is eager, as we have in the past, to work with Google on the next chapter of the fight against online hate. We caution against overreaction and hope legitimate free expression is not affected by new filtering approaches, determining what is and what is not free expression. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We have a problem, a small problem. Okay, we caution against overreaction and hope legitimate free expression is not affected by new filtering approaches. Don't piss down my leg and tell me it's raining. Determining what is and what is not hate speech is often a nuanced exercise that cannot be left entirely to artificial intelligence. There you go. They're going to get you. They're going to get you, right wing. They're coming after you. Yeah, they're coming after you, neo-fascists. The current crisis is an opportune time for Google and other online companies to consider innovative approaches to the problem. Years ago, when a search of the term Jew on Google returned the website of a virulent anti-Semitic website, Google placed an ADL ad alongside the search results so users could access information, anti-Semitism, and hate speech. A similar approach is necessary in this new world of online video hate. With the advent of the internet, ADL has encouraged online platforms to take online hate seriously. The recent episode with Google shows that others, including major corporations, some of them headed up by Jews, share ADL's serious concern. The time to develop new solutions to combat this pernicious problem is now, man. It's terrible, man. It's coming for us Jews, and they're building a crematorium in Chicago. That was from Britton Heller, director of Anti-Defamation League's Center on Technology and Society, based in Silicon Valley. That's it for now, boys and girls. I'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday, with another hateful session that Google is watching me. They're watching me very closely. There's a guy with a Google shirt right outside my house. I'm keeping an eye on him, too.